Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service. State Representative Speaker of the House Lisa Damath talking about session coming to an end.
Yes. And so this is what I tell people, and this is kind of, I've said this multiple times this week. In the legislature, days are like dog years. So even though there's 16 days left, there is still time to get some good things done for Minnesota. Namely, in the amount of some type of property tax relief or affordability or Medicaid conformity, that we need to conform to the federal government regulations so that we don't lose $3 billion in funding. We can stop, we can put in more preventions for fraud in that Office of Inspector General bill. There are good things and enough time to get those done for Minnesota as Democrats and Republicans choose to work together.
You know, I'm making a huge assumption here, but when it comes to property tax and medical cost and such, that seems like about as unifying as you can get.
You know, it really is. And what we find in the legislature, and Joe, as a reminder, we've been in a tie since last year. So in the House, a tied legislature, equal number of Democrats and Republicans, there are a lot of things that we do agree on that usually doesn't get widely reported on because it's maybe it's not as catchy in the headlines, but are a lot of things we agree on. What we do find, though, is the pathway to achieve those agreed upon things sometimes can take a different way or makes it a little complicated. But everything we passed last year, an entire state budget and changes, it all was bipartisan. That's still the work that we get to do this year, too, Joe.
Since last Friday we spoke, anything move ahead of note?
Yep. Number of bills moved ahead in the House. And so as we see things going forward where there's already a Senate bill and a House bill that agree or their exact language, then the governor can choose to sign those. Some of the work that's being done is yesterday off the House floor, we passed a public safety supplemental finance bill. There are a lot of different provisions in there. So when I talked to you, a week or so ago about having those individual bills, not these huge omnibus bills, that is still the case. But Minnesota law allows for us to have single subject bills. So in this case, the public safety bill, there are a few different bills that had already been heard that were put together because they're all to do with public safety. So that's some of the work that's being done. We still have more to do. Here's where we're going to be working forward together. We still need to look at a bonding bill, so that capital investment bill that we definitely need to do. We're going to be looking at other provisions that need to be done for Minnesotans. And you'll see a lot of work being done in the bipartisan way over the next few days. Monday, we have 18 bills up to hear. And so there's going to be a lot of work as we go forward in that way too, Joe.
Catch your breath now and get your running shoes on.
And that's okay. Again, trying to find ways to make things more affordable. That Office of Inspector General bill, that's a real big piece to that anti-fraud here in the state of Minnesota. As a reminder, this week we saw the federal government come in and issue 22 warrants against some child care centers and autism centers that have been known for fraud, widely reported in fraud. And so we saw the feds, again, doing the work to investigate those. This Office of Inspector General bill is what passed nearly unanimously in the Senate last year. It's gotten tripped up in the House a little bit. But even though Democrats had blocked that bill from moving forward in the House four times this year, four different votes, I'm happy to tell you that it was voted out of Ways and Means on Wednesday evening. So that would mean that it can make its way to rules and finally get calendared to be heard on the House floor. That is an anti-fraud or a fraud protection measure, an independent office to protect our taxpayer dollars.
Is it hard to put our fingers on if fraud is still happening or is it being shut down? I suppose we're not getting those logistics or numbers, are we?
Well, we're not necessarily getting those logistics or numbers, but yesterday the federal government came out again and said because of the ongoing fraud in Minnesota, they are pausing $91 million of payments on Medicaid to Minnesota while it's further investigated. So that just means that the programs or the things that are being covered under those dollars, the feds aren't going to just be sending a blank check when there's this much fraud in Minnesota. They want some assurances and some checks and balances put in place before they send out the dollars. That should have been done. I know, Joe, your listeners, people in our area, we're careful with our money. We don't want it wasted, and we sure don't want it stolen. So this is the accountability that the feds are having to do because the state has been lacking for years. But that is some of the work that's being done.
Now, is that directly affecting, like, the hospitals? I know this week, too, we've heard about hospitals having issues and being in financial trouble. Is that a direct correlation or no?
When you hear Medicaid, that's one piece. But what's really affecting the hospitals are the low reimbursement rates. And that's something that's not necessarily affected by fraud. It means that the hospitals are delivering services, but the reimbursement they're getting from the government isn't enough to cover those costs. So hospitals are facing challenges. Some hospitals are doing a really good job of really finding efficiencies and changing how they do things. Other hospitals are finding themselves in a little bit dire straits and needing to make some harder changes. But we're always willing to have those conversations and see what the state could do in efforts to be helpful without any type of enabling of behavior that needs to change.
You know, I do apologize for going down the rabbit hole there, but is it strictly the reimbursement lowering of that causing the issue, or are there other outside extrinsic factors that are causing the issue too or compounding it?
Well, it's compounding it because, yes, the reimbursement, absolutely. But, Joe, you and I have talked about the paid family medical leave that mandates on all businesses where they have to pay a tax in to the state to then have employees take up to 20 weeks off. Those types of things drive up the cost of doing business here in the state of Minnesota. So not just for hospitals, but for all types of businesses, including our hospitals and our schools. Doing business in Minnesota is very expensive. That's one of the things that House Republicans have wanted to change is by reducing those mandates and making it a little bit more affordable to do business in every aspect.
State Representative Speaker of the House Lisa Damith joining us. Also earlier in the week, the governor, his final State of the State address. I had a chance to watch yourself and your counterparts on the Republican side with the response as well, and there was quite a few things you did not agree with or were disappointed in.
There were. So the governor did have his State of the State on Tuesday night, and really what you heard was, I would say, a victory lap of the one-party Democrat control in 2023 and 2024 that really have made things a little bit more expensive here in Minnesota. That was when we had the $18 billion surplus that was spent. That's when our taxes and fees were raised by another $10 billion. 64 mandates were put on our schools. The paid family leave and the earned sick and safe time mandates that were put on businesses that had already been offering a lot of things to their employees. And there were so much more things that were making us a magnet state for taxpayer funding of illegal immigrants, healthcare and driver's license and different things that make it more expensive and harder here. So that's what you heard. Instead of a unifying message, finding ways that we had worked together and that we could, you heard more of that victory lap on those things. Anytime any leader or state government says, hey, we're offering free whatever that might be, free this or free that, just know that nothing is free, and it means it's being paid on the backs of the Minnesota taxpayers. And we always have to keep balance with that, and that's not what we've experienced.
I know, Lisa, he made some comments regarding our own voting, and you really took offense to that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. So the governor said in his speech, and this is kind of relating to the Federal SAVE Act or the Voter Integrity elections integrity piece that's being passed at a, trying to be passed at a federal level. Now, in Minnesota, we don't have voter ID. We have where anyone could vouch for up to 8 people to vote. We also have where you don't have to give an address of where you live. You could just generally describe the general area. There's been a lot of laws that have changed that make our elections less secure or, you know, having a little bit less integrity. One of the things, though, that the governor said, and this is in relation when people say, hey, we should at least have voter ID. What he was saying is that by expecting people to have voter ID, that is, it disenfranchises or really hurts people of color or, say, black people, brown people, whatever that might be. The fact that the governor said that was offensive to me because, and Joe, maybe, you know, we're on the radio, so nobody sees me, but my dad is black and my mom is white, so I consider myself, even though I'm very light-skinned, a black woman. Now, that's nothing that I ever talk about all the time. I'm not ashamed, but I just think that the work I do has to be based on the fact that I'm qualified for the job, not what I look like. But when the governor said that, I thought that was really disrespectful, especially as a person of color or a black woman. I have never had a problem with showing up and getting a driver's license or an identification card, or even I know some Democrats talk about, well, it's hard when women get married and they have to change their name. I'm married. I changed my name. I have never had a problem with that. So to use that as an excuse of why we shouldn't have voter ID, I thought was really disrespectful.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning as we hear from State Representative Elisa Damath. Elisa, also Speaker of the House. As we get an update this week in St. Paul, we usually talk to Senator Jeff Howe on Tuesday mornings, State Representative Paul Anderson on Thursdays, and then State Representative Speaker of the House Elisa Damath on Friday. That is your Central Minnesota Farm Report as we talk legislative issues this morning here on Chasm Radio. Have a good weekend.